This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Did you read more during the pandemic? Find time to love books for the first time, as we were encouraged to stay in, or rekindle that love that was always there? The pandemic was actually good for book sales, with annual sales rising in the US by 9% in 2021, a trend likely replicated globally. But did this benefit brick-and-mortar booksellers? Questions we pose to Book Access, which runs 19 stores in this country, and is also the organizer of the Big Bad Wolf Fest. Andrew Yap, the co-founder and managing director, joins us again on The Breakfast Grill. Thanks for coming in, and I guess it's been a tough 3 years since we last spoke, because I want to quote what you said to the Nikkei Press. These are your words. We were literally going to go bust. Andrew, how bad were things?
Bad to the sense that, to me, being here now, speaking to you, you know, it's a miracle. We never thought that we could ride through the pandemic. It was very, very tough. You know, we expected it to be like, you know, 2-3 months, right? And then it kept going on and on and on. And our runway kept getting shorter because we were running out of cash. There was zero revenue coming in. We had 650 colleagues with us. So, you know, it was a really tough time. And, you know, having to make decisions to retrench our colleagues was a very sad moment in my career and the company.
Now, what we do know is the bulk of sales prior to this were via fairs, right? And they were really lucrative. I saw all accounts showing that you could do easily 100 million ringgit in sales through these fairs. But Book Access clearly had to pivot, and you basically transitioned from brick and mortar to digital. How easy was that transformation or that transition?
To me, it was something that we had to do because we were just sitting around and, you know, and when we look at what's happening globally, 95% of our revenue were actually overseas, and we know we're not going to be able to travel at least a year. That was, you know, during the start of the pandemic. So we needed to somehow reach our customers through online, right? And the good thing is that in all the countries that we are in, the customers, our customers over there and the fans, they don't have any other option except us. So we just needed to reach them online, right? Our warehouse were not catered, you know, to be an e-commerce warehouse. We sat down and said, let's turn the whole warehouse overnight into an e-commerce pick and pack, you know, facility. And our storage were all bulk storage. So we needed to break down, you know, the bulk storage in order to hold at least 80 to 100,000 SKUs. Right, so that was a challenge, but we managed to do it. It was very messy, you know, in the beginning. I think it took about 2 weeks, you know, to transform it and then, you know, get the system in. So in about a month, we were up and running, and we found a perfect model for us to reach our customers online, you know, through Malaysia. And then we went to Thailand, Philippines and Indonesia.
We'll come back to the e-commerce part of your business, but I also want to highlight something that we saw towards the end of the year, and that was pictures of your warehouse. In Shah Alam, the floods affected business tremendously. Was that another huge setback to Book Access? I mean, how bad was the write-off? Because we saw books being damaged and destroyed, right?
That was, you know, we were already on the endemic stage, right?
And yes.
So, you know, planning out events in Indonesia, we were packing books. You know, we literally brought down a lot of books, because if you come to our warehouse, you can see that it's all a lot of bulk storage, right? And, you know, we go about 6 levels up in racking, and we brought a lot of books down to be able to pick and pack. You know, we are preparing for our Indonesia tour and then Dubai also. So the books were all on the ground, and unexpectedly, you know, the flood came, and the water was almost up to about 5 feet, and it lasted for 3 days. So it literally destroyed 4.5 million copies of books.
And how much was the damage, the write-off? Were you insured?
We were, thank God we were insured. The claims, I think, is amounting to almost 40 million ringgit.
Wow, okay. So significant setback to you then some way.
The crazy thing is, apart from losing all the amazing books, right, because you pick the best, you know, books to go to events and all, and we lost the books, with the issues with logistic delays and the rise of the logistic, the cost of logistics and all. Even up to now, we still haven't recovered from the flood, because the books that you order, you know, can take up to 6 months, 4 months to actually arrive.
So fast forward today, the economy has reopened. And what's interesting is that you have doubled down on the brick and mortar model, right? So now 19 stores. My question for you is then, why so many when retailers are closing down outlets and deciding to do more online sales? Why are you going old school?
There was a demand in shopping malls for retailers to take up big spaces because of the pandemic. And, you know, bookstores always need big spaces. And so, you know, malls approaches and...
So the rents are really cheap, are they?
It's a good time to make sweetheart deal and try to secure it for at least 3 terms, 9 years. The sad thing is that, like Times in Malaysia, I call it a day. Big chains, downsizing. They're leaving a big void in the market. And we are here to fill that void. Because our business model is different. We are able to survive the harshness of the retail landscape, you know, for books where the margins are very low.
Well, we'll come back to the margins. So let's explore this concept of your brick and mortar shops. And interesting, so one's house in the old cinema complex, Rex KL. Another has an ice cream bar. And there's a woman-only powder room in the gardens. I mean, where do you come up with these ideas? Do they actually make money, these bookstores?
They do, they do. We cast a wide net because we know that our USP is very attractive because of the pricing of the books. Our books are very good and affordable. So what we need is just eyeballs, you know.
And is it like a branding exercise almost?
It's not really a branding exercise, but it's more of, you know, our mission of wanting to get Malaysians to read more. I think that's the only way that Malaysia would change, right, when people are reading more. And so getting in the masses, and everybody wants, you know, to have different experiences nowadays, you know, take pictures for Instagram and all. So they come in, especially the grassroots and all. And when they see a good book that they like, you know, they'll pick it up. Put it this way, we are actually trying to re-engineer everything, including the reading habits and the reading culture of Malaysia. And similarly to bookstores.
Now, in this post-pandemic era, we speak to many retailers. And the feedback we keep getting from them is the biggest hurdle now is getting staff. And bookstores require exactly that. So with 19 stores, how is book access overcoming that issue? And have you had to pay a lot more in terms of salary cost then?
Definitely, salary cost is going up. And, you know, the government's announcement of moving up the wages for civil servants will also affect us, right?
And the minimum wage, of course.
Yeah, minimum wage. So, to be honest, we don't even have a solution to what you just mentioned, you know, the issues that we are facing. It's not so much just the shortage of manpower. A lot of Malaysians don't want to work in retail because of the hours, right? And it's not so much about the money because nobody wants to work weekends. Nobody wants to work on public holidays, right? And nobody wants to work weird hours and all. So, and especially post-pandemic, a lot of people are steering towards working from home. You know, work-life balance is more important now, right? So, for retailers, it's a huge challenge. And there are so many spaces out there, you know, for retailers to take up. Right? But they're not taking up the spaces even if they're sweetheart deals because they can't get manpower.
Now, it's also a fact that books from Book Access are much cheaper because you buy them from this remainder book market where they're actually designated for pulping, but because they're going to this part of the world, publishers don't have an issue. So you are able to sell them, at 50 to 80% below the recommended retail price. But these books have to be shipped in. And since the pandemic, the buzz phrase that we keep hearing is supply chain disruptions with logistic hurdles. How painful has this been for you? Because you need the supply of books to sell in the first place.
Yeah, that is extremely painful. And now is the worst time to actually raise prices. And you can't also. We are in Indonesia right now. There's a sale going on. And we can see the after effects of the pandemic. You know, the market is really soft. We are only hitting 50% of our sales target. And the sales target is actually a really low target.
It's revised down.
Yeah, it's revised down and we're only hitting 50%. So can you imagine? And when we speak to our customers there, you know, they cite that, you know, they haven't had bonuses, you know, for years, no increment, you know, some of them are still on salary cuts and all, right? So the market is really soft. They're really choosing what they're buying. How do you actually raise prices in the market? So we can't. And we just don't have a solution for that. But what we are trying to do is keep the lights on, we have hundreds of millions of ringgits of stocks, you know. Mm. So we'd rather just sell them and, you know, keep on chugging along till things get better.
Now, you haven't had a big book fair in Malaysia yet, right? You've had them in the different states. I see that in your website.
Yes, and that is very interesting.
Yes, so is the sentiment the same in these states? Are customers in, let's say, Terengganu, Kelantan, also feeling the heat in terms of the cost of living pressures and buying less?
Definitely, they're feeling the heat. We are doing about half of what we used to do. And I would say that we have a very good sample take because we are very mass, right? And even a small event, you know, almost 100,000 people come. For the last 8 months, we have been doing our box sale. Sold almost 10 million ringgit worth of books through boxes. You buy a box, you know, for 99 ringgit, right? And put whatever you want inside. There are two sizes, you know, there's a smaller box and a bigger box.
So it's like a game of Tetris almost, right?
Yeah, correct. And this is us trying to move surplus stocks, and books do age. So it's an exercise to actually clear it, and it also helps the market, you know, seed the market again when it's ready.
And what about the remainder book market? Because you have to access that to get your supply, right? So has the pandemic affected the equilibrium of that? Are publishers printing less, which then impacts your supply, and maybe you can't get it as cheap as it used to because these are basically overruns, right?
Actually, interesting question, but I would also like to correct things because a lot of people look at us as a remainder seller. Mm. We have moved on. I mean, yes, we still do sell remainder books, but we have moved on years ago to reprinting books, you know, creating our own books and co-publishing with publishers because the remainder market can't grow like how our business grow. You know, it's a small market and the demand for books, because we are in 34 cities around the world, you know, pre-pandemic, right? And we will, if the pandemic did not happen, we'll be in 100 different cities. So there won't be enough remainder books to go around. And like, as you mentioned, you know, publishers are being more efficient and there'll be lesser and lesser. So we knew that was coming. So working with publishers to actually co-print, you know, co-produce books together so that we have a proper sustainable business. And that has been working. We've been working with publishers, you know. And if you can actually have a print run of 10, 20,000, you can bring prices, you know, all the way down up to about 70 to 80%.
On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Andrew Yap, co-founder and managing director of Book Access. When we come back, the financials and what's the future? A listing, perhaps, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Andrew Yap, co-founder and managing director of Book Access. Before the break, how did they weather the pandemic? And is the new headwind labour shortages? Now, Andrew, I want to talk about costs and stay on the topic of financials, right? So we keep hearing about rising shipping container costs. So I know the cost of shipping a container on the world's transoceanic trade routes has increased sevenfold in the 18 months following the start of COVID-19, which was in March 2020. So is the business still as lucrative as before? Do you have to pay a lot more for logistic costs? Because you do ship books, right, in and out of the country. So how much has it chipped away in terms of your margins?
I can't really give a figure on that, but I would say that this will severely impact our bottom line. And at this moment, just going through an event to break even is something which we will be happy doing because it's a mission-based business, right? And
but you can't be just doing things just to break even, right? I mean, even your mission-based, I'm sure profit is at the back of your mind, if not in the front of your mind.
So we try to talk to venues. You know, we try to definitely cut costs. You know, we bring half the crew, right? We stop our 24-hour signature events. So we run about 16 hours, some 12 hours. And venue owners are also quite sympathetic to what's going on and they also want to support us. So there's certain venues, we only pay half of what we used to pay. So keeping our heads low, you know, bringing our overheads down to defray the logistic costs. So that's one of the measures that we're taking. And that also helps with the low sales. So just try to lay low and you know, we're just happy to be able to do events. And we're also evolving, you know, we might not do a huge mega one, but why don't we do four small ones? You know, take a smaller hall.
Is it like what you're seeing in Malaysia? Because you haven't had that, you know, where you used to do this ginormous book fair in
the mines,
right? That went on like for days and it was like 24 hours. That's not something
that's coming. That's coming in December. Okay. It's going to be more exciting. Like I mentioned, we are trying to do smaller events, right? And so to keep our overheads low. But instead of making the event smaller, we are smaller, but of course, we're going to have a good spread of amazing books. What you're doing is we are teaming up with local publishers, you know, and so everyone is having their own struggles, right? Mm-hmm. But coming together, collaborations, I think moving forward, collaborating with other events is something which could be an option for us. And we are starting up in Malaysia. So with the Malay book publishers, together with Big Bad Wolf, we're coming in stronger. You know, they take half, we take half. So it's something that we've never been done before. And hopefully one day, you know, together with the National Book Fair, you know, we can do a fair together.
Okay, and the books are also priced in USD. And that has appreciated to close to 7% on the year-to-date basis. But for a lot of your books, let's say the ones that you sell here, they're sold in ringgit. So how do you manage all these transactions done in foreign currency?
At this moment, we are still sitting on a lot of stocks. Prior to the pandemic, we were sitting on around 120 million ringgit worth of stocks.
Yeah, I saw that in your accounts.
Yeah, so we still do have a lot of stocks which was on a cheaper logistic rate and at a cheaper exchange rate, right? So we are sitting on them and we are, at this moment, we are just selling them. Yes, we are topping up, you know, fresher titles and all. So the effect is not really there yet, but I see it running out, you know, in 6 to 8 months' time.
Okay. I'm curious, what is the eventual target of revenue split between book fairs, physical bookstores, and online channels? Because I'm sure you're taking this omni-channel approach for book access, right? Is there some target in mind, the split?
When the pandemic came about, you know, everything was online.
Yeah,
we were
doing
extremely well online. And I thought that during the endemic stage and now, you know, it would be at least 50-50 that, you know, online would still be strong. What we are seeing now is about 90-10. Like 90% physical and 10% online. I mean, online has dipped tremendously. I think even the e-commerce giants, right, marketplaces and all, they were very bullish. You know, they were really riding very high during the pandemic, hiring a lot of people. And now you can see some of the giants are really retrenching. You know, they never expected such a big hit too. So generally, you know, people would still want to
be out there in the shops.
Be out there and shop, you know, buy it physically.
Is the physical channels more profitable than the online channels though for you?
I would say online has its own plus and minus, right? Is there a difference? I would say no. Because online, you know, there is just a lot of other challenges in getting traffic in. It's not cheap. And then, you know, the commissions to marketplaces and then the competition and all. And plus, you know, warehousing, pick and pack and, you know, free shipping and all this, when it all comes into play, right? It's almost there. But it has different challenges.
Okay, and you mentioned competition. Let's talk about them. Because Japan's most beautiful bookstore, Tsutaya Books in Bukit Jalil, I heard Esli is the Taiwanese bookstore.
Yes.
Is going to be opening in Bukit Bintang.
Yeah, and it's going to be huge.
Okay, so then you've got those independents, beautiful small bookshops like Lit Books, Monsoon Books, opening, which have their own niche market. So how do you compete against these names? And where does Books Access sit in this ecosystem of bookshops?
I think it's just about to get fun because of the resurgence, right? And there's also a new Kinokuniya coming up in Damansara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And but I look at the new Book Access, that what we are doing, the new business model. We are also going to be selling new books, right? Together with our good affordable price books. And so we consider ourselves a new player in a way because our new stores are big, you know, architecturally they're amazing, the designs and all. So together with Tsutaya, Esli, you know, Kino and the way for independent bookstores plus us, the landscape is going to change. And the thing is, this industry is like a blue ocean. Can you imagine how important books are? You know, books are food for our brains, right?
Yes.
And you can look at the restaurants out there. There's probably 100,000 different restaurants in Malaysia, but there isn't anything close when it comes to books. So there is a huge market there, and we are always going after the 91% of Malaysians who are not reading. So the market is there, you know, and And the more competition you get, the better, because the more people read, you know, if you're a reader, you know, it's reading is an addiction.
Yeah, it is. And yeah. But is it an addiction enough for you to turn a profit? Because if I look at your accounts of both Big Bad Wolf Ventures and also Book Access from SSM, revenue, you know, in 2020, 105 million, but of course there was a loss of 13 million. And then Book Access revenue was 26 million, but there was a 2 million loss. Now, I don't have 2021 figures, but are both companies now profitable again?
No, it's not. Yeah, and I don't see it profitable for at least another year. Yeah, it's still going to be tough. What we want to do is, you know, ride out this period because...
And you have the cash flow to ride it out.
We don't have the cash flow. We are living month to month. It's not easy. But we came so far and I'm sure we will prevail.
Okay, because you, in earlier interviews, say that you're a form of social enterprise, right? And you just said it not too long ago. You have a mission. But profit must be important to some degree, right? Because what are your future plans then? I mean, are you looking for an eventual listing? Have you sold to a private equity fund? Andrew, because your business, the revenue, 100 million a year is no small sum.
Yeah, we do have a partner, right, a private equity in, and they are helping us, you know, throughout this period. But we are looking at, you know, probably next year, getting back on track again. Mm. The exciting thing is this year, we are going to totally brand new markets. So we don't know where that will land, but we are very optimistic. East Africa is on the radar. Next month, we are having our first event in Tanzania, followed by Kenya, Uganda, and Ethiopia. And at the end of the year, Egypt.
Are all these fairs profitable so far, in newer markets? Do you think you'll break even, or is it just to basically just try out new markets?
I think it's just to try out new markets. And if we can continue selling the stocks that we are holding, that will tie us through towards the end of the year. But I believe that it can be profitable. The last fair that we did in Dubai,
With 1 million books, right?
Yeah, Dubai is already opened up, right? Mm. And in 10 days, we made a profit of 2.5 million ringgit.
So the goal at the end of the day, let's say 2-3 years when the market is recovered, you know, things are back to normal. Is it a listing for you?
I wouldn't know yet. It could be a trade sale because the more... You know, I think about listing and all the red tape that comes along with it, right? You know, the control and all. We might just look for a partner, you know, that is aligned with the mission, you know, to take us to the next step. Because the mission will only end when we can change the world through books.
And just out of curiosity, what's the most popular genre among Malaysians? What sells?
It's actually young adult. It's been growing for the last few years. And also because, you know, the young adults are the ones that were hit most with social media, right? And they know all the noise on social media is affecting them. Mm. A lot of them, you know, young adults are smart, right? And they know how to switch off. And one of the best ways of switching off from social media, right, or digital media, television and all, is books. So they go into books and they're reading books.
All right. On that note, thank you for your time on The Breakfast Grill. Today was Andrew Yap, co-founder and managing director of Book Access. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.